So let me pray. Father God, thank you for our time. And Father, we want to hear you speak because you are a good and glorious God. And we pray that you'd minister to us this morning. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. At our home in Finchley, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We've been tracking through it as a Bible study group. As I've been doing this, I found it hugely refreshing, but hugely challenging. Especially, do you know when Jesus, when we hear Jesus' words, especially when he says words like, what do we read, track with me, when he says, an eye for an eye, and then he goes on, and then he tells us to love our enemies. It's challenging, why? Because when Jesus says this, when he tells us to love our enemies, what he's really doing, he's applying it, he's telling us what it really looks like to be a Christian. And guess what? It's not easy. See, I don't know about you. You may be very different to me, but I find it really hard to love the individuals who are just really unlovable. I just do. It's really tough to turn the other cheek and to love one's enemy, to love the unlovable, when it's just really difficult at times. So what's the answer? The answer is this. It's in our text. It's that word, look in the Bible, which says love. You see that word? It says love. However, this love is not a love that is stripped of all this sentiment, and it's not a romantic love. It's a painful love, and at times, it's an absolutely humiliating love. See, without this love, what Jesus is speaking about, we will always get caught in those cycles of, you know, fake forgiveness, conflicts which never ever seem to be resolved, of broken relationships which grip our hearts. See, God has called us as Christians, why Jesus told in his words, given us his words. God has called us to form a countercultural community, an alternative way that people gather together. And one of our characteristics, what that God is expecting of us, longs for, desires, is its hallmark will be that of love. A community where we take this love and we work it out and we press it deep within all our relationships. This is what God is saying the people of God are to live by. See, this is what Jesus is speaking about in our text this morning. So therefore, under two simple points, I want us to look at the danger what Jesus unmasks and the antidote that Jesus gives us. The danger that Jesus unmasks and the antidote that Jesus gives us. Well, do you see those two words? Look at verse 39 and 44. What does he say? But I tell you. Do you see those two words? When Jesus says, but I tell you, it's his way of saying this. You've heard it said this way and applied like this, but let me show you how it's really applied. See, what Jesus is doing to the crowd and helping us to understand is the way that you've understand it is the wrong way, but let me help you to understand it the right way. Let me help you to see why the way you understand it is just missing its main idea. The way that you understand an eye for an eye, if, guess what, if someone hurts me, I'm going to hurt them back. And let me help you to show you why it's wrong. See, as Jesus says an eye for an eye is in the Bible, he's saying is that it's applied wrong. See, he's saying, let's take this principle, this idea, and let's digest it. Let's look at it. Let's look at the way it's being applied. Let me help you understand what it really means. And if we come to understand what Jesus is saying in this context, we will see this. This is a society that we should long for. See, Jesus lived in a society where, up until now, if you were rich, if you were powerful, if you were a king, it didn't matter what you said, and guess what? It didn't matter what you done. You're the king. And if you were like the poor, if you was impoverished, if you wasn't wealthy, you had no right, and guess what? You had no claim. See, what Jesus is doing in this context, he's saying, it doesn't matter how powerful you are, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, it's that you can't be exploited. See, this law, an eye for an eye, to love one's enemy, it was a law to discourage oppression. It was a law to take the bully out the playground. It was a law to stop violence in its context. See, the whole purpose of the law was to take punishment out of the hands of the avenger. You poke my eye out, and I'll gouge both yours. You damage my sheep, and I'll burn your barn down. See, they were the rules at the time. See, that reason, an eye for an eye, it was to protect the weak. It was to look after the vulnerable. It was a loving principle. However, get this. This is how it applies. Jesus says to the crowd, really saying for the preaching of God's word, he's saying to us today, is that in our relationships, that we need to go further and just an eye for an eye. See, we need to see progress in our relationships as Christians and as church members. See, what he's saying is that the real application of the law is that as Christians, as those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been born again by the Spirit of God, working through the Word, that we need to take every opportunity in our daily interactions within the church, within our jobs, within our lives, within our families, where it's tough sometimes, to protect the weak, to discourage evil, to do the loving thing, even when we don't want to do the loving thing, when it's really tough. It's not right when we say, guess what? If someone hurts me, I'm going to hurt them back. It's not right as soon as if someone upsets us or challenges us or questions us, even within the church, even within our families, is that our immediate response is, guess what? You're going to pay. When we do, when we fight for our rights in a way, our justice, when we defend ourselves, this way of dealing with things, our relationship, is not the way Jesus expects us to apply the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law was to protect the weak. It was to be a banner for the women and the children. And this principle, Jesus says that as a church, guess what, as Christians, as he's applying it, is that you need to go further. See, I think, as we was in this in our Bible study group, I think these verses, this section of the Sermon on the Mount, is so important for us as Christians, as a church. And it's really important that we don't miss it. See, if we don't get this, and work it out in all our relationships, push it deep in the context, in every area of our lives, then when people are church members, or even our children, like my son Caleb, who I love, it does my head in, or I fell out with recently, when people upset us or offend us, then we very often we get angry and we get resentful. Listen, I'm not stupid. I know sometimes, even as Christians, guess what? We hurt people and people hurt us. And often, it's always those who we know most or love us most that are the ones who often can hurt us most. But when we do go to this thing, it's an opportunity for us to come together and say, guess what? Let's work this out. It's not that we ignore the injustice against us and we allow ourselves to be abused. I'm not saying that. But it isn't an eye for an eye, because that doesn't move us into a deep and a closer relationship with a person who has offended us. Within our homes, within our relationships, and certainly within the church, we will accidentally at times, we will bruise each other. Unintentionally, I pray. But when we do, it's not an eye for an eye, but it's an opportunity for us to move closer in relationship marked by love, reconciliation, and a desire to, guess what? I'm going to, even though it's tough, I'm going to forgo my rights to win that relationship. I'm going to forgo my rights to forgo that relationship. I keep coming back to the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Because it's so challenging, isn't it? But so helpful. What did Jesus say? You've heard it said to love your enemies and hate, to love your enemy and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. See, I just wonder if there's anyone here today who has an anyone, an enemy, someone who's hurt you, but you're not praying for them. In fact, it can be, and I've done this totally before, is that you wrote them off. Whether this damaged one's heart or the relationship's got so broke, you're thinking to yourself, I just can't pray for that person. It's that you write them off. See, Jesus says this, it's not an eye for an eye, but we should love our enemies. What's his point? See, Jesus is not saying that we need to become a doormat. He's not saying that we need to let someone abuse us with no consequences. He's not saying that in our text. Of course not. But he's saying this, that as Christians, is that we do this. We never retaliate with the same heart of the individual who's been abused against us. He's not saying that. If you take Jesus saying an eye for an eye, and you say, this is just the way the world is. If someone hurts me, guess what? I'm going to hurt them back. All it does, we just move into a cycle of unnecessary conflict. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we applied this? Can you imagine what our homes would be like if we applied this? All our relationships, if we apply this. What the church would look like if we lived by this. If we looked at difficult situations as an opportunity to love someone. To truly, from our hearts, even though it's difficult, to pray for someone. You've heard it said, Jesus says, but let me tell you what it really means. Well, what's the antidote? I think it's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21, when he says this, Apostle Paul's words, he says this. And do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to revenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In so doing, you will heap burning coals in his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, I think this, what Paul is doing, Apostle Paul, I think he's reflecting on the Sermon on the Mount. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Surely this is our antidote, isn't it? Surely. Or should I say, this is the love what Jesus is calling us in the Sermon on the Mount as Christians to live by daily. It's the thing that will help us to overcome that chain reaction of retaliation, of bitterness, of that lack of unforgiveness in our hearts. Overcome evil with good. It's why, coming back to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us, look at that in our text and case studies, verses 39 to 42. What overcome evil with good, actually what it looks like in this context. And he gives us that one, doesn't he? He lands us, Jesus, and he gives that one what we dread, turning the other cheek. What does he mean? Why to turn the other cheek? See, it's about when someone insults you, when someone dishonors you or speaks rudely to you. It's about when someone injures your pride, even publicly. It's about when that person that you thought you could trust. It's about when that individual that you've known for a really long time, and guess what? I can trust him and I love him. You know when it's that individual? And they hurt you. And Jesus says this. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Let your pride go. Let your reputation go. Let your honor go, Jesus says, and turn the other cheek. See, what's at stake in any situation is how best to love that person, to win that person back. And it means, at times, turning the other cheek. I don't know about you, but even being in this text and studying it and looking at it, I find it so challenging. I find it so radical. But just imagine what life would look like if we lived this way. One commenter, he said these words. I just had a reading to you. He said this. That in the place of the principle of retribution, there'd be non-resistance. In the place of a defense of our legal rights, there'd be uncalculated generosity. In the place of a concern for oneself, there'd be a concern for others. A willingness to forgo one's personal rights, to allow oneself to be insulted and even opposed upon. What words are they? See, Matthew 5, verses 38. Matthew 5 is just so challenging, isn't it? See, but this is what Jesus is saying. This is what the kingdom looks like. This is what the Christian life is. See, if you want to break that cycle of regret and retaliation and retribution, you have to come to a place, really, where we put other people's rights before our rights. And it's tough as Christians. And at times, it all means is that we have to suffer humiliation and even at times persecution. This is what it means to overcome evil with good. There are always two things that you can do with this passage. You can do number one, you can do what Christians, many Christians have done, and you can actually apply it literally. Or number two, you can do this, you can say, I find these words really challenging and really helpful. I don't think they're for now, to be honest, because I think it's really tough. I think that Jesus is sort of like, it's just giving us some rail tracks in a way, and he wants us to try and go down them, but the bar was really, really too high, and I'm not really expected to, guess what, to love one's enemy and turn the upper cheek. But I do hope that as you listen today, is that you're far closer and you land on the first one, rather you do, than the second one. See, Jesus, when he's speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching that teaching, and God is speaking for his word, he really expects us to apply this. He expects us to live by this. See, as I said, this love, what Jesus sets out in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, it's not a romantic love. It's not a sentimental love, but it's a turning the other cheek love. It's a loving our enemies kind of love. It's what Jesus is calling us to. Therefore, I suppose that one of the ways to really apply this and to see it work out is to start with that really tough word, start with forgiveness. And that forgiveness is often more for us as we forgive an individual than it is for the individual that we're forgiving. One writer, he says these words, "The first and often only person to be healed by forgiveness is a person who does the forgiving, because when we genuinely forgive, we set a prisoner free, and we realize the prisoner that we set free is us." I imagine that some of you have been hurt by people, and I do understand this is hard. I'm going through it right now. Sometimes it's really hard to forgive an individual. What's that saying? Remember that saying as a kid? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt us. It's a lie. Names do hurt. Words do hurt. They wound us, and they do even break us. However, I know that it's hard, and it's hard at times, but when we don't forgive that individual, when we hold a bitterness in our heart, it has an influence over us. It has a power what entangles us. So therefore, we have to do the hard work of forgiving us. It's just the way the gospel applies. It's the way that Jesus' words in this part of the Sermon on the Mount applies. It's never ever loving to let an individual go on hurting us and going on to hurt another individual. But it's still loving to seek reconciliation. See, Jesus is saying really in us in this section of the Sermon on the Mount is that to really restore that relationship, we have to start with forgiveness, and it's tough at time. See, and as we do this, we start to redefine that relationship with that person. but not as someone who has just been harmed, but someone, as we look at them, they're in need of the grace of God just like me. See, the reason why I love not just being in the Bible, but this section of the Sermon on the Mount, because of where will she find it? It's nowhere in any religion, any philosophy, any gathering, but in a Christian community where we truly work this out, where Jesus gives us, God gives us, loving principles. When we see forgiveness being worked out, the love of one's enemies. And no more is seen, surely, than the forgiveness that we see at the cross. It was God himself, didn't God himself? When we think of the gospel and we think about our salvation, our life, was it God not himself who turned the other cheek? God himself being stripped of his tunic so that we can be clothed. It's in God himself, we read the Gospels, don't we? Being forced by his impressors to carry that cross for that mile. It is God himself becoming poor and impoverished so that we can be so rich in the gospel. It was God himself on the cross who was praying, who said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Who is that? Them? It's us. We were these enemies. We were the ones who put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. See, when we look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we begin to not just see this, but with our hearts, when we begin to believe this and look at the injustice that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, and we see that we are the ones that wounded him because of our sin, despite our pride, despite all of us, despite at times our self-righteousness, the feelings that our rights are being violated by the individual, it should humble us in a way where we are driven to forgiveness. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? It was him who turned the other cheek. Looking at the Lord Jesus Christ should move us. It should humble us. The grace of God should humble us. When we begin to see this and believe it with all our hearts, it will move us into relationships of forgiveness, relationships of restoration, reconciliation, relationships of joy. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who says, you heard it was said, love your enemies. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. As I close, I want to say, it's not easy at times being children of God. It's tough at times to turn the other cheek. It's tough at times to overcome evil with good. But this is what Jesus is saying. You've heard it said like this. But let me tell you how it's really applied. You think it's like to live this way in my kingdom. But let me show you what it's really like to live in my kingdom. And it's a good kingdom. It's a glorious kingdom. It's a kingdom where as the church, the Lord Jesus Christ says, as my ecclesia, as my gathering, you're a light to the nations, to your neighbours, to this watching world, and it's where we work out our relationships in love. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you for your words. Father, we pray, Jesus, we pray that you'd help us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Help us to be those who live by these words. We pray that love would be worked out in and through all our relationships within the church, within our friendships, within our neighbourhoods, within our families. We pray, Father, that you would enable us to embody these wonderful words for your good and your glory. Amen.